John Walden here. We come to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 11th verse. We're going to try to finish this chapter and include the first verse of the 7th chapter, which properly belongs to this section. We've been noticing in the first part of chapter 6 what the true servant of Christ ought to be. Now at verse 11, Paul returns to what he was saying before he took up the subject of the servant of Christ, to establish in the mind of the Corinthians, the Spirit of God led him to say these things to try to show them how very much he loved them. He has already exhorted them to true Christian service. Now he wants the believers at Corinth to know of his love for them, and he wants them to reciprocate. He wants to be assured of their love to him. And in so doing, he takes up the real problem that they faced. We begin at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Joy and thankfulness over their partial restoration, I believe it was, that opened Paul's lips to tell them that his heart was expanded. He had a large heart for them. That simply means that there was room for all of them in his heart. He loved them very dearly. They had cost him a great deal. He had spent a long time there winning them to Christ. He had gone through many hardships. He wanted them to know that he did love them very much. He declares that love to them often. Don't be afraid to tell God's dear children, your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you love them. Now, of course, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, you do not love the Lord, and you do not love God's people, and you're most uncomfortable in the presence of real Christians. There are some people that never make you uncomfortable, but it's mainly because they don't show that they're Christians. They don't act like it, and you feel perfectly at home with that kind. What in the world would you do in heaven if you ever got there, when you're so uncomfortable with real believers down here? Now, the problem of these people was, he says, you are not straitened or limited in us, but you are limited in your own affections. You are straitened in your own bowels. They were narrowed down and restricted in their affections. The cause of it is given, and that's a very important thing. Why did they not love the Apostle Paul more? Why did they not return his love for them? Well, he says now for a recompense or a requital, which he desired. Now for a reward for my love for you, in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Let me say something here, and I don't say it to offend, but today there's a great deal of talk about being broad-minded and showing love for people and overlooking sin and false doctrine, and we ought not to judge anybody. Now let me tell you, the Lord Jesus loved his own. In the 13th of John it says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, but that did not keep him from washing their dirty feet. And God so loved the world, but that didn't keep him from putting their sins on his son and allowing him to suffer and die for them. And love for somebody will not keep you from showing them what is wrong. And these Christians were wrong. They were overlooking a truth that is all through the Word of God, beginning with the very first chapter of Genesis. The first thing that God did in creation was to divide the light from the darkness, and to divide the land from the waters. And he's been going on with separation ever since. God's kind of love goes hand in hand with holy living. Now the problem is stated in verses 14 to 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A yoke, you know, is the wooden thing that they fastened over the neck of the oxen, and then there was a U-shaped piece that went underneath the neck and protruded through the top and was pinned in place. And this was part of the harness. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, verse, chapter 22, he says that they should not plow with an ox and an ass yoked together. There was a great difference in their size, but there was also a great difference in another way. The ox was a clean animal, and the ass was considered an unclean animal, ceremonially, and God was teaching them separation. He said, I don't want you hitching them up together. Now, the New Testament gives us the teaching for us in this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he asks five questions. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, and that means to sound together, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial, which means worthlessness, another name for the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now, of course, there is no answer to those except to say they have no connection. There are really four clauses here. The first one is the radical difference of principles, and that's stated in verse 14. The principle is the principle of righteousness and unrighteousness, the principle of light and darkness. You can't mix them. They won't mix, and they don't belong together. And then you have the second statement of the different heads, Christ or Belial. You can't serve two masters. It's either Christ or Satan. And then the difference in followers. Some are believers and some are unbelievers. And later he calls them infidels. An infidel is one who simply doesn't believe. He is an unbeliever. And then there are different places and worship, the temple of God and idols. And he said, you are the temple of the living God, not a building. No building is God's house in this present time. The seventh of Acts says that God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He did at one time. He lived in the tabernacle. He lived in the temple. And that temple was destroyed and another one was built. And there will be a coming day when there will be a temple. But today, the temple is composed of living stones, as Peter calls them, and we are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The house of God is composed of true believers. And if you're not born again, if you're not one of God's children, you're not part of that temple. Now, you see, he is dividing them up so definitely that there is no way at all that there could be fellowship together. This has to do with many phases of life. Some people say, well, this has to do with marriage. Well, I think marriage is treated very carefully in 1 Corinthians 7. And there he says that if someone is married to an unbeliever, the believer is not to go off and leave him. And here he's talking about getting out of this unequal yoke. So it could hardly be, I'm not even sure that would be included. It certainly would not be limited to that. It covers all areas of fellowship. Anything in which you are yoked together, linked together. Now that doesn't hinder friendly concern in the unsaved. It doesn't hinder your speaking to people. It doesn't hinder your working with them. It doesn't hinder your living in the same neighborhood or even in the same home. But even the unbeliever expects us to live separated lives. They have no respect for a person who claims to be a child of God, but his life doesn't show it. And the answer, very plainly, is, I want to walk in them, dwell in them, I want to be their God, and they shall be my people. And the solution is given in verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is exactly why I can't join something, because if I could join it, an unbeliever could. The Lord is telling us here that we're not even to touch the unclean thing. I know that in the first century this had mostly to do with idolatry, but think of all the idolatry that we have here in our land. Think of the idolatry that is everywhere today. Even Christians are warned, little children, keep yourselves from idols. The Lord does not want us to live in these sinful associations and sinful practices. We're told then, as a reward for coming out from among them, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now that presupposes that they were already God's children, because you can't become a child of God by being obedient to them any more than you could become some other person, some person on earth, become his child by being obedient to that person. You have to be born into a family to be a part of that family. And if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you have no right to call yourself a child of God. But he wants to be a father to us. Many a father would like to be a father to his children, but they won't let him. And you shall be my sons and daughters. And he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. For there is spirit filthiness as well as fleshly filthiness. These promises should lead us to cleanse ourselves. And he says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We ought to mature in holiness, out of reverence for God. This is the way a Christian ought to live. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. Help those who are thy children to clean up their lives and to live as those who belong alone to the Lord. And again we pray for the unsaved that they may be brought to Christ. For his name's sake, amen.